You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yep, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is 2:06 p.m. on March the 29th. This will be a midweek day, and the Boomer is on the board. Hey, buddy.
I am here.
You are indeed here.
And I can talk today.
And I think that head cold you said you didn't have, I got.
I guess so. I was like, yeah, that's no head cold. I'm
sitting
good
over here going, anyway, we'll make it through the show. In the meantime, though, hey, Boomer.
It is.
It is indeed.
Oh,
hit
boy.
It.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes.
Every time. All right. Hey, congratulations. By the way, you made it midweek. You're halfway to the weekend, so yay for that. And you know what, Boomer? I'm pretty sure we may have to play the Camels again later in the show.
I believe so.
I'm thinking to say yes. Just go ahead and plan on it. So we got a great show laid on for you today at 3:30. You may remember the story of Officer Ben Darby, the Huntsville PD officer who was convicted of manslaughter. He just basically won big at the Court of Criminal Appeals. So we have Keelan Darby, his wife, and also a police officer, coming on the show at 3:30 to give us an update. She was on the show maybe a month ago. So, yeah, this is an update from Keelan Darby, wife of Officer Ben Darby. So stand by for that at 3:30 today. 4 o'clock, we got the Grand Council. It is Wednesday, so aside from playing Camels, we always get together with Dale Jackson, Jeff Poore, and we sort of hash out some issues, ask each other questions, see where it goes. We call it the Grand Council. We do that every Wednesday at 4 p.m., so that'll happen today. And then I got a triple dipper, so hit it, bud.
The triple dipper, 3 stories you've got to know.
And that's right, the triple dipper, 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, I didn't get to it yesterday because I needed to spend time on that school shooting in Nashville, but we're going to do it today. Climate hypocrisy. I'll spend the first little bit just talking about, have you ever noticed, by the way, it's always everybody else that has to fix their stuff, but yet they don't fix their own stuff. No, it just doesn't work that way. How about this? Hey, John Kerry, you first. Hey, Greta Thunberg, you first. But we'll talk about it. Number one of the triple dipper, climate hypocrisy. Number two, rules of engagement. So I look at the world around us right now, and I can't help but wonder, does anybody else stop and think, what are the actual rules of engagement? When can I respond? Am I allowed to defend myself, my house, my family? What are the ins and outs? What happens if I do it wrong? Well, we're going to talk about some of that. Rules of engagement, number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, is anybody else sick of hearing about George Soros? So what is this guy's deal? What he is actually is he's literally using his billions. And by the way, does he look like death? Because I think it's like Weekend at Bernie's with him. But the reality is he has spent $40 million in the last couple of years helping to get way liberal district attorneys elected to office who are literally reshaping something like 20% of the nation is covered by a liberal DA backed by George Soros, just totally reshaping our culture. Got to stop. So we'll talk about that. Number three of the triple dipper, the Soros connection. That's going to be on today's show. All right. So let me jump over here to my comments, and I will tell you. So, you know, watching the news, it can be a bit daunting at times. My wife and I were talking just this morning. She pointed out that Christians are often feeling under the gun lately. There's a very real sense of fear in the hearts of some who consider themselves to be Christians, and it's not entirely unfounded. I mean, maybe some of that fear is left over from the last few tumultuous years that we've been going through, right? I mean, we had rioting, unfounded claims of systemic racism, pandemic shutdowns, the January 6th debacle and all of the stuff that followed after it, crazy elections, the rise of Antifa, BLM, even transgender activism. Well, it can all be unsettling. Yeah, I get that. But I'm here today, though, to encourage you to recognize fear for what it is and make the conscious decision to reject it. Because when you do, when you reject fear and determine to move through it, that's when courage kicks in. Very few heroes in history have been without fear. But there have been none, no heroes, who operated without courage. John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. So are there things to be fearful of? Always. But I believe that Jesus said it well when he said, in this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. Jesus was basically saying, yeah, bad things are going to happen and bad people do exist, but so do I, and I've got this, so saddle up. But, you know, fear of what? Cancel culture. Strife, conflict, maybe so. But the assertion was already made by the same God that we serve that bad things will happen. Once we get past that point and accept the world around us is not perfect, it makes it easier to move forward. I'll never forget when I first got in country to Afghanistan. I was really worried about getting sick. Everything in that country is designed to attack you. I was eating and drinking Afghan food daily that my medics said was literally hazardous to my health. But then one of the Special Forces medics very bluntly said, but by the way, you're just going to get sick. Accept it. You'll be fine. And I accepted it. And by the way, I got sick. But in the end, I was fine. So, okay, number one, I would say this. Acceptance is a good idea. Recognize the world around you has trouble. But you've got a means of overcoming the world. And I readily admit, by the way, that it's disconcerting. Easy for me to say, but disconcerting sometimes still. Disheartening even to hear Christianity openly and brazenly mocked, shouted down, belittled. In the wake of the school shooting in Nashville, somehow, some way, the left-wing side of U.S. culture has accusingly pointed the finger of blame at Christianity, as if those who died in that heinous incident were somehow to blame for their own demise because they went to a Christian school as part of a conservative Christian church. It's a warped view in which the blame gets cast on the victim instead of the victimizer. And somehow, in ways that reasonable minds cannot fathom, people who believe in God and base their salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ, are supposed to bear some fault in an incident that was decidedly ungodly? But the media hadn't been helping at all. The media has not been innocent in this amazingly awful misrepresentation. Curtis Houck, who works for the Conservative Media Research Center, was decrying the misrepresentations of Christianity in the wake of the Nashville school shooting just yesterday. In doing so, he said, the media coverage is absolutely tainted by the facts of the case, with both the location and victims being outside of what one could view as traditionally liberal or secular worldviews in which much of the journalism profession operates. So they already have, he says, a bias and a lack of both compassion and knowledge about the victims of the school run by a church in a right-leaning denomination. But along with the proximity bias, he says, the coverage has been horrendous on account of the fact that the victims, represent the kind of worldview that the left views as backwards and hateful and whose very existence apparently contributes to the suffering of the groups they hold dear. What he's basically saying is, yeah, they're blaming those dead children because they went to a church and a church school. And that's absolutely wrong. The radical left views Christianity as archaic, standing in the way of their own version of truth. Christianity has become their perceived firewall that must be breached in order to feel that in some way they've arrived at the place where they can live out their own truth. Christians are viewed as an impediment by the radical left. Christians are viewed as the mirror they don't like looking in, so they would just as soon get rid of the mirror. But think about what that means. What is it they're lashing out at? What is this nonsensical belligerence based on? What do they see when they see a Christian? Is it possible they are seeing with a skewed view? I would say yes. In the study of Christianity, there's something called apologetics. It's essentially an explanation or defense of the faith. It's more than just an assertion. It's an actual explanation, as if you're offering your comments on some version of the law to a jury to help them understand and render their verdict. And I don't know why the defense of Christianity is called an apologetic. Perhaps that's just the old school way of saying sorry, not sorry. But for what it's worth, let me just take a moment and sort of offer an apologetic to remind you, those of you who consider yourself a Christian, who we really are. You see, aside from believing that there's one true God and salvation comes through His Son, Jesus Christ, Christians actually have to also live it out. I've heard it said that, yeah, we're not works-based. We know life with God in spite of ourselves and not because of anything we've done to earn it, but there are two parts to being a Christian. There's making Him your Savior, and there's making Him the Lord of your everyday life. So in doing that, do we miss the mark sometimes? Yeah. But generally speaking, a Christian is someone who, first of all, adheres to a faith that calls on us to be loyal. Loyal to God, to our family, to our friends, and certainly to those that we're called upon to lead or follow. Christians are called upon to be faithful to their spouses. Christians are called upon to face hardship and danger with courage and determination. We can be inviting to others and know that trust is essential, but Christians are not at all unwise to lock their doors at night or take precautions for their future. Christians are called upon, by the way, to love the person even while we call out the behavior. We are called to avoid condemnation, but that does not in any way mean that we have to condone behavior that flies in the face of our faith. Christians are called upon to be benevolent, to reach out, to help. No faith has done more for the world, to care for the world, or to feed the world, or to bring solace and comfort to the world. It's a part of who we are. Christians are called upon to be accepting. You don't have to look like what we look like or sound like to join us, but we are not required to allow you to enter our sanctuaries or our homes and act in a way that mocks what we look like or sound like. Now, I could go on, this apologetic, this explanation for what it's like to be a Christian, but the fact is this. Despite what the world may say, despite all the screeching and the scratching and the clawing going on around us, despite the fact that it might generate some fear, I believe and I take strength in knowing that while I ain't perfect, that I am part of something that is bigger than me and truly better than me. So when I hear the detractors, and by the way, there's many, I assure you, my response is, well, yeah, I am a Christian. Sorry, not sorry. And I intend to saddle up anyway. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I say all that to say, take heart, y'all. I mean, it is a scary world, no way around it. If it bothers you, just recognize this, it bothers a lot of people. It bothers a lot of us. But I do agree that there's a time and a place where we have to swallow that fear and move on anyway, and that's what we're called to do, to stand up under it, to resist the devil. He will flee from you. It's just true. And I've seen it in my life many times, and I know many of you have stories that are bigger than mine. All I'm saying is this, sorry, not sorry. I'm a Christian. That's my faith. You can just learn to live with it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. I'm going to have to put a cough drop in here in a minute. I can just tell already. You sound like you've been smoking a half a pack of cigarettes already. Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, Russell from Rural Route 1 just texted in with that word apologetics that I had in my my monologue a moment ago. He said the Latin word apologia means to make a defense of. Well, there you go. That's where it comes from. Because that's what it is, the apologetics, study apologetics is how to make a defense of your faith. And we're supposed to do that, by the way. We're supposed to be ready. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready at all times to give an accounting for the things that you believe in, or the joys in your heart is one of the ways it's translated. But do so with gentleness and respect, meaning in a way that you're not just like lashing out. Just be ready to do it. And so you got to be willing. I mean, I had my pastor say one time, I thought this was very cool. So my pastor said one time, he said, if we get to the end of it all, and it just turns out that I'm wrong, which we're all kind of perking up at that point. He said, if we get to the end of it all, it turns out I'm wrong. What have I lost? I was encouraged during my lifetime to be loyal to my wife, to be, you know, faithful to my friends, to have a strong work ethic, to be honest. And when you think about it, that's true. So end result is I don't believe we are going to find out we're wrong at the end. I'm firm in my faith, but even so, the things that we stand for, they're worth standing for. They just absolutely are. I mean, even people who don't believe like we do, you and I do, who are Christians, still respect the fact that, you know, we're called to be honest, and they appreciate honesty. They still respect the fact that you're loyal to your spouse, and they recognize it. You know, it's not like it's lost on them. Right now, though, the hard left progressive activists it is lost on them. They can't stand it. And so it's gotten kind of rabid. I mean, they just literally can't stand. I mean, the press reports coming out yesterday from some of the liberal hacks on the air, airwaves, who were just, you know, really kind of mocking, these kids shouldn't have gone to that school. Why? Because they don't like transgender drag queen shows? Is that what you're saying? So that was worth basically forgetting that there were innocent children who died, and we're going to go ahead and blame it on Christianity? How about no? How about the blame rests in a sick mindset that drove that shooter to the school to do that? I mean, there was no battlefield there, was there? There wasn't. There was nothing there that made that look like a battlefield. No, it was innocent babies in a hallway. And that's where the story ends. And they should not have had their lives taken from them. And their families shouldn't be grieving today. So anyway, yeah. And by the way, don't think for a second. I mean, turning the other cheek does not mean being walked on. So you can certainly turn the other cheek. But it does not mean that if someone comes to your house to do harm that you have to stand idly by and watch it happen. Not at all. Not at all. I'm a firm believer that you can pray up and muscle up all at one time. I'm a firm believer that being a good steward does not mean leaving your door open because if someone does harm, no, you lock your door at night. You know, we're going to cover some of that here later in the show with the Castle Doctrine. But all I'm saying is this. Do not be cowed down by the rhetoric that we're seeing right now. Do not let yourself be caught up in the idea of fear, because what will they say about me? I would say this, who cares? In the end, what will your eulogy be? What will they say about you after you're gone? He stood. He was there when I needed him. He was someone you could count on. He was honest. He was brave. Let those things be said about you, not in the end, he was quiet because he didn't want to cause a fuss. In the end, he stood idly by rather than intervene because, no, don't be that guy, don't be that gal. Let's don't do it. Let's make sure that we remember to stand. And by the way, hold each other up. Even Moses in Scripture, there's a story where he stood on the top of the hill watching down on the battle, keeping his hands in the air is what, you know, was calling upon the Lord's favor. But as he got tired, physically tired, because you get physically tired, as he got tired, he couldn't keep his hands up. And every time his hands began to go down, the battle would begin to wane. And finally what happened was he had his men stand on both sides and hold his hands in the air. We got to do that for each other. You got to do that for each other. Absolutely. Okay, Reverend Phil today. Hey, listen, by the way, I got to pause here and just point out that we had some difficult news in our listening area. So God bless the families of Huntsville police officers Garrett Crumby and Albert Marin. Officer Garrett Crumby died in the line of duty yesterday. Officer Albert Marin is recovering after surgery from critical wounds, but he is believed to be recovering, I believe. And we would just honor them and appreciate the men and women in blue. All right, folks, big show coming. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.